stuff that I was never told. And it was stuff that I never heard anybody say growing up, even though I went to church till I was 20 and went a little stint in between there just to make my wife happy. And when I found it wasn't making her happy, I quit going. For a while, you know, sometimes we're just a little shallow. It's like, at least he's coming to church. And I mean, what's the matter? I had her crying before we got home. It's like, so when I figured out it wasn't making her happy anymore, it relieved me from going. So, but even, you know, I think about I'm 52 and I went to church till I was 20, and for a couple years in between, not long, maybe two, and then from age 33 on. So a whole lot of my life I've been in church and around Christian folks and listening to preaching. And all of a sudden I started seeing things in my Bible and hearing things in my heart as I sought God and hugged my Bible and cried and said, "You're the truth and please reveal it to me," and stuff like that. I mean, just alone when nobody was around. And all of a sudden I started hearing things and seeing things that I never saw before that were life-giving and that gave my Christianity so much purpose. To where it wasn't about me holding on till the end, and it wasn't about me making it through, and it wasn't about me having greater circumstances. It wasn't about any of that. It wasn't even about my well-being. It was about why I'm alive and who I am now that He came. And that's the line Jesus took me in way back when I got saved, which wasn't super long ago. It's been 19 years. That's not a long, long time. But it's long enough to learn something. It's long enough to have some consistency and a track record, if you will. And I'm just telling you, my heart's alive. I'm pumped, man. Jesus is inside of me. And I'm excited. And He's inside of you. And please don't get trapped letting life speak louder than truth. There's a lot of folks that mean well and that really love God the best they understand God, but they're a product of what they're going through, not a product of what He went through. And they're only doing as good as life is treating them, and yet He's amazing. And all of a sudden, they have no battle point. They have no strength to stand, and they can only give what they see. And if they don't see Him, they don't have much to give. And you guys know what I'm saying. I see so many of us only doing as good as our circumstances. And it's a sure sign that we don't understand the whole truth. So I'm going to talk about it a little bit tonight because I hear a lot, and I'm not going to come from the problem angle. I don't like to ever do that, but it is a reality over the years that I've heard folks say. I just heard it recently, you know, about, you know, it's not always about love, and it's not just love, and there's more than love. And I'm just telling you guys, it is all about love, and there isn't more than love. I'm just telling you. Because I can quote scripture for you if you want me to, and it's New Testament, New Covenant. And don't forget that we're in the New Covenant, New Testament of God through the blood of Jesus. You're not in the old, you're in the new. And it's through His blood. Man. 1 Timothy 1:5 says, "The goal of our instruction," some translations say, "the purpose of the commandment is love." The whole goal, the whole reason for all this church stuff, Christian stuff, gospel stuff, cross, resurrection, it's love. Come on, that's Bible. 1 Timothy 1:5, you can read it. The whole goal of our instruction, the whole outcome and purpose, the whole aiming point, the whole bullseye of what we're doing is so we land on love. I can't afford to let my heart be filled with animosity. I can't afford to let how people are treating me decide who I am. I can't afford to let what I'm going through determine me in the moment. I have to let the one that's inside of me and what I understand about what He accomplished define my life through the working of Holy Spirit. You following me? Are you just going to have church attendance, a love for God for the cross, but the way that seems right to a man dictating your life? I'm just being straight. I'm not being too strong. Don't hear me harsh. I'm trying to protect our hearts because I've seen countless people that mean well, that don't wake up with evil intent, get overrun by life and misunderstand their relationship with God and their purpose. And they get forced to cry out to Him in prayer from desolation and desperation. And the more they do it, they get self-conscious, self-focused, self-centered, feel sorry for themselves. And it hurts their heart and hinders their ability to be close to Him, to trust Him, to have intimacy with Him. It's not a good day when you're living that way. There's really no help. Are you guys okay? Am I too passionate right now? Man, I'm passionate. I can't do anything about it. I'm sorry. Am I just a little weak? Okay, man. You're, I love you, man. You're so awesome. Pastor's sitting there a little weak, brother. Good. The reason I ask that stuff, it's not insecurity, and I'm not second guessing. I care about you. I don't have a need to stand here and preach. I'm here because I was invited, and I'm here because I want to be, but I don't have a need to preach. I don't draw an identity from being up here. And I want you guys to get something out of what's being said. And if something I say this weekend empowers you to know Him more and make Him known more, man, we've done good. And even if I can sow that potential in your heart, then we're still doing good, because the kingdom of God is as if a man just scatters seed. So I'm going to put a bunch of it out there. And I'm going to trust it lands on good ground. Amen. So amen. But this love thing overwhelms me. It just wrecks me because, okay, I'm going to do this. I don't even read this scripture much. Go to Matthew 24 with me. Man, there's some things in my heart. I hope you're ready. Because I'm going to bring it, okay? Man, as you're going to Matthew 24, wow, I'm waiting for you to get there. I'll just preach 1 Corinthians 13 a little bit. Because it says, you can have the tongues of men, of angels, and all this stuff. If you don't have love, you're a clanging sound and cymbal and all that stuff, right? Now watch what else it says. It says, you can have the knowledge of all mysteries. It's 1 Corinthians 13. Doesn't say some. You can have the knowledge of all mysteries and faith as to move all mountains. That means all faith. So he goes to the extreme, doesn't limit it, uses the peak as the example. You can know it all, see it all, and move it all out of the way. And if you don't have love, you've missed the point. Because it says if you don't, now be honest with me. Somebody walking with understanding of all mysteries and faith to move all mountains is a spiritual icon. It's the closest thing to Jesus we've ever seen in the flesh. Be real. If you see somebody living that way, people press into that to get impartation. That's the keynote speaker at the World Conference. Knowledge of all mysteries and faith to move all mountains is a hero to us. And the Bible uses that as an example to describe what you can walk in. And if you miss love, you've missed it all. And it's not going to have a good ending. Something's going to crash and burn. Something in time is going to misrepresent it and cause more confusion than blessing. Because if it's not from love, we've missed the point. So I'll bet you it is all about love. You can give all your goods to the poor, which is a commandment of God to remember the poor. That's a command of the Lord. You can give all your goods to the poor and your body to be burned, and if you have not love, it profits nothing. Now, the people that get your goods will be blessed in a temporal way, but it profits nothing for longevity. That's intense. That's a spiritual thing. That's a commandment of the Lord to remember the poor. And you can do it apart from love and miss the point. Man, don't you let anyone tell you it's not about love and believe it. It's all about love. I'm going to quote a couple more scriptures, then we're going to read this one, okay? No, seriously, this is awesome to me. Actually, John says, it's not that we love God first, but that He first loved us. So if we get deceived and stop preaching the love and goodness of God, our hearts will never ignite in a response to His goodness and to love Him back. We'll just be reduced to serving Him. If you don't see the love of God, you'll just see your need for God and you'll be reduced to serving Him instead of being His. And you can't even relate to the songs we just sang. Because you go to church, but you might not even know Him intimately. You go to church, but His heart might not be dominating yours. You go to church, but you might not be looking through His eye. Come on. I didn't come here to pacify the gospel. This is Christianity. Christianity is becoming like Him. It's letting your light so shine. It's making Him known through your life within your sphere of influence by the Holy Spirit that lives in you. It's not going to church and just serving in a ministry. It's loving the world around you, period. No matter what they're producing, what they understand, what they don't understand, doesn't matter how willful they are, it doesn't change love and it doesn't change truth. Oh, okay, good. I'm glad you're happy now. I feel better. So, man, I'm weak. Listen to this. I'm going to get a little more intense now because I'm really encouraged by this man. So write him the letters. It's his fault. Watch this. 1 John chapter 4. It says, beloved, let us, not the pastor, not the shepherds, let us love one another. Well, why in the world would I do that? Because God is love. Come on, it's scripture. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. Watch, this is intense. He who loveth not just doesn't know God. Didn't say doesn't go to church. If you love not, it just reveals you don't know Him. It didn't even say you don't see your need for a Savior. It didn't even say you didn't see your need for a Savior. It didn't say that you didn't recognize that you've sinned and you need a sacrifice, a Savior. It said if you don't love, it proves one thing, you don't know Him, because it's impossible to know Him and not become love. That's what Scripture's teaching. So the animosity, the hatred, the jealousy, the judgment, the stuff that we grew up thinking is normal and we're all familiar with is not who we are. It's what we became through sin and the fall of man, and it's time to get born again, put off the old and put on the new and receive new life through Jesus Christ. Come on. It's not time to have an attitude. It's not time to be offended. 1 John 2 says, you that have love have no cause for offense in your brother. You know what love does? Covers a multitude of sin. Love, you know what it does? It triumphs over judgment. It's mercy. It comes from love. It's the same. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Love, it just conquers judgment. Love covers a multitude of sin. You know what else it does? It doesn't seek its own. And you know what it does because it doesn't seek its own? Watch this. I'm going to get a little intense. Takes no account of a suffered wrong. Watch. Love takes no account of a suffered wrong. That doesn't mean you get hurt and you talk about it and you have to tell two friends and you have to get it off your chest. No, love doesn't even understand that. It takes no account of a suffered wrong because it's not seeking its own. Love doesn't live for its own self, its own glory, and its own name. It lives for the highest sake of others. So here's Christ making Himself of no reputation. We've lived for reputation. He lays down His glory. We've pursued it. And He dies on a cross as a servant, and we want higher positions. And He said, follow Me. I think we're on the wrong path if we don't get this. Going to church does not make us Christian. I'm just going to get this out. I don't care where you go, what denomination circle. I'm not against churches, circles, denominations. I'm sorry, that stuff's even out there. I wish it could just be about Jesus. I don't know what I am. Don't tag me. Don't say, well, He's this, He's that. You're wrong. I'm in love with Jesus, and He's in me, and I like that, and so does He. I'm not this, and I'm not that, and I'm not church of this and that, and I'm not coming against Church of Christ. What I'm saying is, let's stop boxing ourselves in, and let's let Him out. Listen, I'm just going to get this out. Going to church is not what makes you a Christian. Christ-likeness is what makes you a Christian. Christian means little Christ-like one. People say, oh, I'm a Christian, I go to church. You can let church attendance take the place of knowing Him. You can let ministry take the place of knowing Him. You can let serving within your church take the place of knowing Him and have the superficial, distant relationship with God and think serving Him is knowing Him, serving Him is pleasing Him, serving Him is being right with Him. No, becoming like Him is being right with Him. He doesn't even call you a servant. He calls you a friend.
Yeah.
I read this book. I read it. It's too late. There's nobody going to talk me out of this. It's too late. Look, you can't come to me apart from love and convince me it's only love that I'll listen to. People that just have a need to be right. People that are just insecure and pushing a point. You lose your authority. You lose your ability for men to even hear. You reduce yourself to an opinion in a debate. People sit and talk about God for hours. They sit over coffee and debate about God. And I'm thinking, man, get alone with Him and you just might bump into Him. He might say, oh, you're nothing like I thought. Look, He loves you. Don't be afraid to preach the love of God. If you don't see God's first love, you can't love Him. It's His love that captures you. Don't be afraid to preach it and think you're going to empower people to sin and greasy grace and all that stuff. Come on, let's stop that. Let's preach the clearest revelation of the goodness of God and it'll lead men to repentance. Look, if you love not, you know Him not. That's 1 John 4. That's intense. Ah. Put a marker in Matthew 24. When we get back there, it'll be there. And you know what? It'll say the same. And that's a good relieving thought right there. It'll say the same thing it was going on a while ago. I'm so pumped. 1 John 4, it's too much. I can't take it. I color code my Bible. And green is the color of love in my Bible. Just look at that. There's a lot of green, baby. We might be here for a while. 1 John 4, 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love just doesn't know God. For God is love. What's He saying? Watch this. This is real, guys. He's saying it's impossible to truly have this. I'm talking this. And not have this. You can't have this and not have this. The whole purpose of this is to be transformed into who He is so you have this. The whole goal of our instruction is love. Now watch this. This is so simple. Becoming love is so simple. You have to want to become love first. You have to lay down your rights and release everybody from your expectations. Amen. Because if God lived that way towards you, you're toast and don't have a chance and don't have hope. You're not living to please Him. You're living to be loved by Him and become that love. Come on. I know walk in a manner pleasing. I understand some of the scriptures, but what I'm saying is, if your goal is, I got to please God, you'll always wonder if you're not pleasing Him. And He already was pleased to send His Son. It pleased the Father to bruise the Son and cause His soul to grieve when He made Him an offering for sin, Isaiah 53. Pleased the Father to put Him on the cross and sacrifice one Son to obtain many. Knowing that on 3 days He would raise Him from the dead and thump the power of death and breathe life back into man. That's why Jesus rose from the dead and breathed into His disciples, because He took them back to the garden when man was made by God on day one, to the garden of paradise, day one of man. And He breathed into, just for you technical folks, and He breathed into him and man became a living being. Adam, the day you eat the tree is the day you surely die. He ate the tree and everything he was created to be died. So Jesus came and hung on that tree and became what he was so we can be restored back to what he is, a son. and life came back into us. So when he raised from the dead, he said, peace to you. Why? Because of Romans 5:1, you now have peace with God, being justified by faith through the Lord Jesus Christ. He come back from the dead. He put his blood on the mercy seat. And the same day in the evening, he shoots back to the earth and says, peace to you. Why? Because his blood speaking better things than the blood of Abel. And the power of his blood has washed away sin from man. And all of a sudden, man can become a living being. And Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so I send. Why do we always think power, signs, wonder? For God so, oh, I bet it's all about love. For God so that he his son. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. You know what he said? If you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they'll be retained. That doesn't mean he's given you the power to be God and decide who you love and who you don't and who you forgive or who you don't. What he's saying is if you keep your heart in the place that I've just placed it and you love people like I've just loved you and you show mercy like I've just shown you mercy, you will walk in this thing and you will forgive sins and they will see the way to me. If you shut up your heart, get legalistic, get contrary, get self-centered, get indignant, let the world speak louder than truth, all of a sudden you don't have the ability to forgive and man won't know the way to me because the way is through love. And if you fail to be love, how will they know love? Because you are the body of Christ. Come on. Be real with me. How many of us let our hearts get hard, let our hearts get angry, fall into the trap of surface judgments and first impressions? And well, I think she, well, he makes me mad. Well, you know, there's something just about their personality. It just gets under my skin. Well, then you need to get new skin. See, you embrace that language as normal and you think it's some kind of right on the earth. No, it's what you inherited through sin and through the fall and through Adam. Listen, I said it last night and I'm serious about it. We better get real with this. From the day we were born, we were trained by the spirit of the world and the wisdom of the world and the spirit of this age. By the time you were of an understanding, you were nothing more than a product of what life taught you. And when you get born again, that's exactly what it means. And you get renewed in the spirit of your mind. You're no longer conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind so you can prove God's perfect and acceptable, good and acceptable and perfect will. Come on, that's Romans 12:2. The first one was Ephesians 4. Just for you that are wanting to know. I read the book. And you know what I found? It's all about love. Changed my life forever. My days of having bad days ended 19 years ago. You don't have to believe that. Time will tell. I'm telling the truth. He taught me why I'm on the planet. It's not to have a better day. It's not to make more money. It's not to just have full vats and barns. He put me on the planet to make him known, to manifest him, to walk in the light as he's in the light and have fellowship with one another because the blood of Jesus has cleansed me of all sin. That's a good righteous day, girl. Probably ought to get up and rejoice and just be his, huh? I guarantee it. Man, I feel the gospel all over me. I'm serious. I'm born again. There ain't nothing nobody can do about it, see? And I'm not saying that in an arrogant way. You don't have to believe me, but you can't touch the peace that's in my heart. You can criticize me, condemn me. You can post something on Facebook negative. And guess what? He's going to touch me in his presence in bed tonight. I'm going to hear his voice when I go to sleep. And he's going to be right there in the morning. And there's nothing no one can do about that. There's something powerful about knowing him. There's just something powerful about being his. Whoa. Yay. So it's just too late. So if I don't preach his love clear, pastor doesn't preach his love clear, if we just get caught up doing church and the do's and the don'ts and the this's and the that's, we just might miss the grace that wants to draw our hearts to him, to be intimate with him, to get to know him, to look face to face so that we behold him and see him as he is so we become like him. Come on. I promise you, going to church has not changed the world. It's actually made some of us very proud, stuck up, and more angry than before. I've been around people that quote the word and know the word way more than I do, and they're the meanest people I've ever met. And they're hiding behind their Bible quotation. It's deceiving them and taking the place of knowing Him. Because if you know Him, you'll love. And if you're so right about those scriptures towards people, it should break your heart, not make your heart angry. It should work compassion in you. And you should be able to cry for people and not because of people. Come on. How you doing? You snuck in here, didn't you? I saw you. Are you guys all right? He told me to turn it up. He said I was weak. I thought I couldn't be offended, but I was close. No, I'm kidding. Wasn't even close. I just thought it was cool that the pastor sitting there and go, a little weak, brother. I love this guy. No wonder I'm here. Let us love one another. Why? God's love. This thing is simple. He who doesn't love doesn't know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made known to us, that God has sent His only Son into the world that we might live through Him. Because we're in Him. We're going to live through Him. Christ in me, the hope of Christ through me, the manifestation of that glory. The word glory very simply means, without doing a long conference on the word glory means any manifest, made known attribute of God. So the Christ in me, Pastor, the Christ in me is the hope of making God known. So why is He in us? To make Him known. He's not in us to have doctrine. He's in us to have Him. So that when people see us, they get a good look at Papa. And like, Father, hi, beautiful. Am I making you laugh tonight? You're so precious. Oh, I can't get him. I just can't get him a little bit. Just a little bit. Ah! Oh, she's just sitting there with the binky. Priceless. Priceless, little precious. Oh, now I'm ready to quit preaching. Just hold the girl. I just told them, I was just flying on a plane and sat down beside a lady with a little baby. Nobody wanted to sit there. Southwest, first come, first serve seating. You pick your own seat, so everybody avoided that seat because there's a baby in it. What happened to us when we got older? How'd we get so weird? You cried and somebody changed your diaper and you boo-hooed and whad and said mine and did all this stuff. And then when you get older, you can't even tolerate a sound of a cry on an airplane. Where did we ever get that way? That you get on an airplane and nobody can make a sound. So I just sat. I'm doing my best. So I just sat beside the mama and she said, oh my goodness, you don't want to sit here. I got a baby. I said, I see that. You can't believe how quick that baby crawled on my lap. And she was like, oh my God, no, I'm so sorry. I said, sorry for what? I've been waiting for this. It took a while. I held her baby the whole flight. We played trucks on the back of the seat. I rocked him and held her boy, total stranger, and she's a little wigged out, but she was okay because we're on a plane and I can't take him anywhere. But in the long run, it taught her something and imparted something, and we had a great time. And I got to share at the end, and she was like, wow. But I held her baby the whole flight. Played with him. Ran the little truck up his leg and down mine. Went over and went up mommy's arm, and he thought that was great. Yeah. Kids, priceless, huh? Yeah. Lest you become like a little child. Not even any child. It's not long till a child, as precious as they are, start losing innocence and getting self-conscious. A little child has no self-consciousness and is completely innocent. Unless you become that way, you'll by no means see the kingdom of God. You get too analytical and you'll talk yourself out of it. And you say, well, God made us that way to reason. There's Bible colleges that teach don't let anyone cross the line of your right to reason and try to take it away from you. And I have a real problem with it for this reason. Your reasoning, as you know it, isn't what God made you to be. God never made you with the ability to talk yourself out of Him. You became that way when Adam and Eve followed another voice. Are you guys following me? God didn't give you the ability to reason the way we know reason. God didn't even give you the emotional makeup that you grew up with. It's all through the fall. Everything, we've studied a fallen man and said, this is who we are. You got to look to Jesus and say, that's the truth about me. Come on. Well, but God gave us our emotions, not the way you know them. Come on, I love challenges stuff. You ought to see people's faces. I got the best seat in the house. I think it's small manifestations. It's funny. Listen, well, God gave us emotions, not the way you know them. God gave you love from the beginning. He gave you His image. God gave you who He is and put that inside a man. And He said, the day you live outside of me is the day that dies. And then all men can see is who you are instead of who I am in you. And all of a sudden, man becomes a god unto himself. And the way that seems right to man is his wisdom. And you must be born again. Because every man since that day was born into that lie. That's why you must be born. And I'm not mad at this. It just doesn't make sense to me how that turned into a prayer to go to heaven. The goal was never a prayer to go to heaven. The goal was the redemption of your life. Taking away the old and giving you the new. Bringing you back to original value and restoring what was lost. Saving that which was lost. How we turn that into a prayer to go to heaven. Oh, it makes me cry. Here's why we did it. Because it's a good message for us. And it serves us. And it makes us feel comforted. And because we live for ourselves without realizing it, it's a good message. Just saying. People run to messages all about blessings, prosperity. What God, pastors, by the score over the generations, have got into services and the music's right. And they say, God is in this place. And He's here to meet every one of your needs. That's a good way to run the Holy Spirit right out of the meeting. Because He's not here to meet every one of your needs. Some of your needs are wants. Some of your needs are idolatry. He's not here to meet every one of your needs. He's here to make you more like Him. He hovers over the expanse of the water to give it definition and identity. He's not here to meet every one of your needs, guys. I'm sorry. Come on, if Satan himself ever figures out that you need something apart from God to determine your joy, that's the target. The joy is your salvation. The joy is knowing Him. And it's joy unspeakable. Yeah! In the face of it all. You say, yeah, but brother, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what we've been through. Let's stop comparing our stories. Let's stop making it all about the hell we've been through and singing it's all about heaven on earth. I'm not being mean. I'm being real and relatable. And you can get mad at me if you want, but it means you need to listen to this message I'm preaching, so don't leave. See, I got him, Chad. I got him, man. Holy Ghost got you. There's no way out. Except the door, but don't do it. Don't do it. It won't be my preaching if you leave. I'm preaching too good. In this love was made known that God sent His Son. What's the measuring stick of God's love for me? Christ crucified. Isn't it easy for Christians to say, man, I can't believe the week I had. My spouse just seems to be going bonkers right when my car ain't running and I just got laid off. Man, God, where are you? I thought you loved me. You see what we do? Our theology is wrapped all about what God's doing in the present, and that's what defines if He's for us or against us in His love for us. And we're way deceived and we're only as good as things are going. It's very self-centered, self-focused, and it's deception. And I'm here to tell you that plain. With a smile. Serious. Come on. I've watched countless Christians get in that quandary.
Well, if God loved me, then how come I'm going all through all this right now?
Well, if God didn't love you, why'd He send His Son while you were yet a sinner? See, we ask the wrong questions. The questions are self-centered, self-focused. If God didn't love us, then why'd He send His Son? You follow me? Yeah. Now watch this. Bless you, Patricia. Bless you, Gloria. I'm glad you came, honey. In this, the love of God was made known, that He sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through... Bye-bye, Patricia. I'm glad I met you today, honey. Bye-bye. We met at Panera Bread. And she just came to just hang out. So welcome and thank you. And she made a few friends today. His only begotten Son. In this, the love... In this is love. In this is love. Verse 10. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son. Come on. He made the initiative. He came to us. While we were yet sinners, He sent the Son to make the statement, you're more than what you're producing. I know the truth about you. I know what you're capable of. I know your potential. I know your possible destiny if you would yield to me and let me come inside of you. I know what you look like when I'm in you and you're surrendered. That's what the gospel's saying. Why else would God ever send His Son to a bunch of seemingly perpetual failures? So that we keep failing and someday end up in the same party. That is not why He sent His Son, so you keep believing you're a perpetual failure. He sent His Son so you see you have a higher value and a greater destiny than sin. That you can actually be made righteous and integrity could restore in your heart and honor and character and discipline.
Man, you told me I was weak. I'm bringing it now. Are you guys all right though? Okay, because I'm not here to hurt you. I'm here to stir you up. And you be careful when you listen to a fellow talk like me that you don't listen to find where you're not. You listen to hear where you're called. God doesn't speak like this to show you where you're not. It's to lift you higher. You don't leave here and say, boy, I got a long way to go. You leave here and say, thank God for your word. I have somewhere. My feet are set on the course. I got somewhere to go. Or you're going to listen in the wrong ear. You're going to leave here and say, boy, I don't even know if I'm barely saved. Come on. That's not why we preach like this. We preach like this to say, hey, we're more than we're realizing sometimes. And we're more than we're thinking. And we're more than we give ourselves to. And if God could raise our identity, if He could raise our value through the cross, He can raise the expression of our lives. If you see what you're worth, you won't give yourself to some of the same things. In fact, it won't even tempt you because you'll understand who you are. And things that had a voice won't have any voice anymore because you'll understand who you are. You getting that? Okay. So this is love. Not that we love God, but He loved us and gave His Son to show us mercy through His Son for our sins. Beloved, he's reasoning in God. It's a good reasoning. Beloved, if God, verse 11, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. He's saying, man, the way God sees us, why aren't we seeing each other that way? If God loved me this way, why wouldn't I love you this way? Or we're Christians just to be loved by God. That is error. We're Christians to become that love. That's what he's saying. If God loved us this way, ought we not just love one another? Now watch. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love has been perfected in us. Do you think that love's a big deal to John when he's writing this? Do you think he's making it all about love? Is this the point? Come on. He was always just saying, love one another. Beloved, love one another. Don't forget, love one another. Come on. I can take through 1 John and just start paging, and I got green everywhere. I'm like, it's everywhere. Watch. The
This is, gets exciting to me. By this we know we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him. And this is what Pastor was talking about. And He abides in God.
That's called oneness. Okay?
It's covenant. I'm in you, you're in me. All that is mine is yours. All that is yours is mine. One plus one. This is God's math. One plus one equals a stronger one. Now, don't answer that in school. You will fail. Don't write one plus one is one. In school, it's two. But in the kingdom, one plus one is a stronger one. It's the synergism of one plus one. It makes a stronger one because there's oneness.
You get it?
Ah, I love it. Now, watch. So whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, he in God. Now watch. And we have known, this is so important, I have it circled. We have known and believed the love God has for us. So is it important to preach the love of God and make it clear? Because he wants us to know it and believe it. Why? Because it's what transforms our lives. Because when we see his first love, we are so drawn to him. His love is amazing. When we realize that all men saw was us for our failures, even when we failed and tried to get it right and they gave us a chance to get it right, many people sat with a brow raised wondering if we were going to get it right or when we were going to get it wrong. And we come under that pressure, and God has never seen us that way. God has always seen us for what we're capable of, our potential, our destiny, and gave us a right to write legacy. God has never cut one man off. No one in this room has been cut off by God. We have all been invited into a greater destiny. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, God has not lost sight of who you're created to be, and he knows what you're on the planet for, and love has never failed. No one has treated you that way. Even our parents, when they don't give up on us, they're still hurt by us, still cry in different ways for, you know what I'm saying? Come on. And sometimes get affected by us and lose their identity for a season because of us. God just sits there and loves because it's all about who he made you to be, not what you're failing to produce. And he never turns that off. And he never closes that door. And all of a sudden, this gift called repentance comes. And you see his goodness and it turns you to him. And all of a sudden, you cry out. And from a heart as if you wish you never failed, as if you wish you never been there, as if you wish you never did that. And God comes down and wraps you and embraces you in the glory of who he is and makes you stand before him as if you never did. And then you continue to look up from whence comes your help. You don't look back and become Lot's wife. Why? Because you're his wife.
Yeah. Oh, that was good. You can preach that. I don't care.
We have known and believed the love God has for us. What? God is love. Man, this almost sounds redundant. God is love. God is love. God is love. God is love. What do you know about love, brother? Probably ought to read 1 John 4. Get out two green markers because you might use one up till you get through the chapter. Because it's all about love. Watch this. Why? For God is, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in. Well, wait a minute. I thought all we have to do is confess Jesus and God abides. Well, that's what he said. But he's after the manifestation of that. So he takes us one step further, a verse later, and says, come on, if you become love, and God's abiding in you and you in him, meaning you're making that known and people are being touched by that truth. Now here's the proof of that. Watch this verse, verse 17. Watch. Love has been perfected among us in this. Colon in your Bible, dot, dot. Love has been perfected among us in this. Colon, dot, dot means this is the answer of love being perfected. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Not hide your face in shame. Not tremble in fear. Why? Because love casts. Because fear involves torment. Come on. Love casts out. So in the day of judgment, you have what? You have boldness. Why in the world would you have boldness in the day of judgment? Because as He is. What's the whole chapter say? He is what? Is He just talking about the resurrection power? Is He talking to Jesus at the right hand with fire in His eyes? That's how we use that scripture all the time about signs, wonders, miracles. It's not even what He's talking about. In the context of the whole chapter, as He is means God is love. And we know love's perfected in this, that in the day of judgment, we stand with boldness. Why? Because as He is, watch, so are we right now in this world. Tell me it's not all about love. Now let's go to Matthew 24 because you are so set up, I won't even have to preach much. Are you guys okay? You know why I preach like this over and over and over emphatically and cry it out with passion? So that you don't let your heart get deceived and just live like we were taught yesterday. And you don't just let what one person said define who you are for a week. Or let what one person didn't say define you for a week. And all of a sudden, you're singing at church, Jesus is Lord, and you're letting everything else be Lord and govern your life. That would be a shame. Come on. I'm not a product of what I'm going through. I'm a product of what He went through. I need to be stronger than the weakness around me when I sing Christ is in me. Be real with me, church. There's no way out of this. It's too solid. It's just too solid. Lord, it's put life inside of me. Are you in Matthew 24? Because I'm not. I'm still at John 4 because there's still green. Because He said there's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made complete in love. We love Him because He first loved us. Sounds important to preach His love, doesn't it? Did I tell you the story last time I was here about Billy the homeless man? You don't remember? Did I tell it here? Well, I've told it. You've been other places, my friend. You've heard the story. Oh, it's an amazing story. Watch this, verse 24. Let's just jump in at verse 10 because it's not a therefore, so we don't have to know what it's there for. We get away with this. I'm just jumping in. He's just talking about the last days and some of the things that we're going to find and see. And talks about many coming in His name, saying, I'm the Christ, etc., etc. And down in verse 10, He says this. Watch. Catch this. This is powerful. This is on my heart. I don't preach out of this too much. But boy, is it in my heart tonight. Not because you're missing it, because He wants to gird your heart with it. Let's stop thinking that every time a preacher preaches something, it's because we're missing that point. It's not God. That's not what He's doing. I think, boy, I must have really needed to hear. I went back to this one church. It's rare I do it, but I actually went back the third time and they said, boy, we must really need help. You felt in your heart to come back. I said, it has nothing to do with you needing help. Stop thinking that. After two times here, you shouldn't even be thinking that. Then I thought, boy, they must really need help. I'm having fun. No, I'm just having fun. See, you know why we're laughing right now? Probably because there's a sword coming or something. God wants you to laugh through the blood and the surgery and not feel the circumcision. I'm just kidding. It's Holy Ghost anesthesia. He's gracious. You get cut and don't even know it. You sit through these services, you get so circumcised, you don't even know you've been cut. Like total open heart surgery. God sticks it back in brand new. You go home, you're all stitched up, and you don't even know you bled. That's fun. You're like, oh, whoa. Whoa. Are you bleeding? It's just funny. Watch verse 10. Many, many, whatever many means. But I'll tell you what, many means many. Whatever that really means. Many. Whew. Oh my goodness, I can't hardly take some of this stuff. many will be offended. He who loves has no cause for offense. 1 John 2. Many will, not might, will be offended. It's intense. That's red letters. Probably because they're offended, will betray one another. And probably because they betray one another, will hate one another. Come on. Now watch this. And many false prophets, that just means many people will rise up saying a lot of stuff. Don't think office of prophet and don't limit what it's saying. There's going to be a lot of voices out there speaking. Many people saying it's the ordained voice of God or it's the inspired utterance of the Lord. Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Why? Because they're vulnerable, because they're offended. Why do they rise up right now? Because they're distracted, they're offended. They're outside of God's heart and they're very vulnerable. Their ears are in position to hear according to their pain. Come on. Now you watch this. This is sobering stuff to me, man. I read this stuff when nobody's looking just to keep my soul sharp. I'll turn to Timothy where he says, in the last days, perilous times are coming. And I just read that whole list to rejoice that my heart's not on it. I'm serious. I'm not telling you to do it, but I do that stuff, man. And I'm like, yahoo! Because it's easy to go to church. I say it a lot. I haven't said it for a while, but the devil could care less if you go to church. In fact, I think he encourages it sometimes. Because we let church attendance take the place of knowing God. He's not threatened when you come to church. He's threatened when you take the word to heart and he comes for the word's sake, not for your sake. He's not after you. Stop taking his assaults personal. If you take the assaults personal, you're going to miss it badly. You're in the middle of a demonic war against the kingdom of God and you get the privilege to fight on behalf of the king. Stop taking adversity personal. And shine through it. And when you're squeezed, let Jesus come out. Come on. The devil knows when you squeeze something, you find out what's inside it. He loves squeezing people after intense worship services and all night 24/7 burns and all that stuff. He loves coming and getting in your ear and trying to expose and make a mockery of all your actions and antics in Christianity. I'm sorry. Many people are going to rise up and say a lot of stuff. Now watch verse 12. I'm not trying to play an emotional card. I'm taking my time because this thing... it's just very emotional inside my heart because it's red letters. That means something. And because lawlessness abounds, because you get your eyes on what's wrong with people, your heart's going to change. I'm not saying you. He's saying the ones that do that. Because lawlessness abounds, I can hear people asking for counsel my whole pastoral life as I'm preaching this. I hear it. It's not a torment. It's not demonic. It's sobering. It's why I'm so emotional. I'm crying. You don't even know it inside. I could go intercede for an hour right now. But you don't know what I'm going through. But you don't know what they did to me. But you don't know how that made me feel. That's what I hear when I'm reading this. I hear that language. And I've heard it my whole Christian pastoral life from countless people because we think it makes sense. And all you're doing is fitting this scripture. And the way that seems right to a man is instructing us once more. I don't mean to be intense and seem heavy right now. I'm just talking to us like a papa. I'm having a family talk. Come on. He who has ears to hear. Let's just hear. This is red letter stuff. It shouldn't be hard to hear. Jesus is saying this. You're just hearing it come out of my mouth. He's saying it. It's red letters. I'm just reading it. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many, whatever that means, but it's more than one. The love of many. Why? Because God failed? Because God changed? Because you got your eyes on lawlessness. You got your eyes on what they did to you and how you were thinking you trusted them and they were untrustable and how they did the unthinkable. And all of a sudden you get your eyes on the wrong and it creates offense in you and gives you a right to be less than him. Come on. Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Don't tell me it's not all about love, because that's what the concern is here. That's what he's trying to save. It's love. Watch. But he who endures means to hold your ground, to bear up in the face of conflict, to hold out under stress and to stand firm and be unchangeable and preserve under pressure. That's what that word means. Yeah, but you don't know what I'm going through. That isn't the point. You endure. It's, when it's about what you're going through, you're already in trouble because it's a self-focused, self-centered comment. That's like Jesus going to the cross thinking, why am I putting up with this? This is ridiculous. They hit me one too many times. Drop the cross. God, I'm done. Come on, bunch of stiff neck. If they didn't change by now, they're not changing. I'm done. They're not hitting me with one more club. I'm done. All I've done is healed their sick, delivered. I've done good. I've done everything you said. And this is what they do? Your blood be upon us and upon our children. Barabbas, are you kidding me? I'm done. Come on. He can't think that way because love never fails. He's standing at the table ready to do the Last Supper and break the bread and pass the cup. He has foreknowledge that the guys he poured into for years are about to scatter even though they're saying they'll die for him. And he doesn't break down and cry and say, I can't believe you guys. And I trusted you. Maybe I didn't really hear your names on the shores of Galilee. Maybe it was an evil spirit. Because you sure aren't pulling your weight now, and I see what's going to happen. And Peter, don't you look at Judas, because you're just as bad. And John, get your head off my chest. Stop acting like you love me. You love yourself way more. You'll see. Some theologians believe it was John that ran out of his clothes through the trees. You got to want to get away pretty bad when you run out of your threads. When they grab your clothes, buddy, and you start streaking, you pulled hard to get away. They ain't no dying for Jesus in that. There's, I'm running for my life. Come on, let's just get real. Jesus knows all of that. And guess what he does? He passes the bread and he passes the cup. When he raises from the dead and Mary's freaked out and running towards him and he tells her not to cling because she was coming. Rabboni. Don't cling to me, Mary. Got to go put my blood up here. I got to go be with the Father. I haven't ascended yet to the Father. But go tell my sorry, good for nothing, low life, weak-willed disciples that I got a score to settle with them. But go tell my brethren. Oh! You know what he's saying? I haven't changed my mind about you. I know you think you got nothing right, but I've invested in you. You have great potential, and the best is yet to come. Now go out into every nation and tell them the good news about me. But wait, we didn't get nothing right. We need a discipleship camp. We need a school of power and love. We need a ministry of supernatural spirit. No, you need to just go and let my love empower you. I don't see you for where you've been. I see you for what you've become. Now go tell the world. Come on. They're in the room for fear of the Jews, not in faith. He walks in the room and says, guys, peace to you. I love you. Now go change the world. See you later. Shoo. Man, we make it difficult. I promise you, if you get alone with God and embrace this truth and you purpose to become love and you tell God sincerely that you don't want to live a day apart from love and Holy Spirit, keep making me that way, and I'm letting my zeal get away from me and condemn me and judge me for where I'm not, I'm going to rejoice in where I'm growing. But you're growing me up into you and grace is changing me daily. Thank you for this. I just want your heart revealed through my life. You start talking to God like that and stop complaining, making it about you and how you dread your job and wish you had another and how you can't stand your boss. That's normal language in the church. On telephones, all through the week, on Facebook, in chit-chat times, and it proves we don't understand why he's in us. He's not in you for convenience, and he's not in you for blessings. He's in you for his image. So why don't you let your light so shine? Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. He's not talking here, I don't personally believe, heaven and hell. He's talking about enduring the season and passing through with effectiveness. Because he says in this gospel of the kingdom will.
He always answers on a good note.
It will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. What's he talking about? The manifestation of love. The gospel of the kingdom is God's will on earth as it is in heaven. Somehow we've made that all about the power of God. When it's all about the heart of God is where the power flows from. God's will on earth as it is in heaven has much more to do with the heart of God than the power of God. Because if there's no offense in heaven, why is it here in the body of Christ? If there's no hurt, discouragement, forlorn, all that's in heaven, then why is it here? Because we accept it as normal because we were trained by it. But now we're renewed in the spirit of our mind and we're born again. We've put off the old, we've put on the new. Come on, I'm going to be straight with you. You know what empowers discouragement? When you think for you and how things are affecting you. Your desire, your dream, your ministry, your agenda. It's the only way discouragement can even thrive or live or have a voice. When it has to do with you. Jesus was selfless. You couldn't discourage him. He healed whole multitudes, and the best they could do is sit back and decide if it was God or the devil. In the end, they all turned him over to death. Pretty confused people. Pretty rock solid king. He never let sin against him produce sin in him. You overcome evil with good. You hang there and you don't say a word. And you die for their destiny.
Or you get offended and take it personal and say,
I can't believe you let them do that to me, God. If you really love me, why did you let them put me through that? Oh, my goodness. And you prove again and again you have no clue of what the gospel's speaking. And somehow you think you're a Christian for you. And God's ordained to care for you in that manner.
And all of a sudden, you sing it's all about him and prove it's all about you.
Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth thus speaketh. You guys all right? Would you say it's all about love? Now watch this. If I can't find my attitudes, my motives, and my reasoning in the heart of God or the life of Jesus, then I don't want it in me. If the way I'm feeling towards someone or seeing someone's life I can't find through the cross of Christ and Jesus' perspective, then I don't want it in mine. Now you be humble tonight with me. And you be humble before God and with your own heart and be a good steward. And you be real with me. Why would you want to permit anything inside of you to motivate you that you can't find in Him? Because then it's obvious you weren't taught that by the truth. You were taught that by life. You guys with me? So we're going to put off the old. And as we recognize this stuff, we don't get judged by it. We don't say, oh boy, I'm failing. No, I'm growing. And as soon as you see it, you address it in prayer and communion with God. You say, wow, Father, thank you for the light in my life. Man, I see where I was heading with that and right where it was going. That is so not who you are in me. God, I thank you for separating me and calling me out of darkness. You're changing me from within. Man, even a few months ago, I wouldn't even caught that. I'd have had a right to feel that way and I'd have probably talked about it. God, you're changing me. Thank you for your love.
Did you get it?
Come on, that's where the rubber meets the road. That's what decides what you really want when you go like that, when nobody's around and you're just talking to God and you're pursuing like that by faith. Or you're just letting your feelings get hurt. You're whispering it to a friend. You're telling them and covering it spiritually. I'm just telling you so you can pray. No, you're just hoping they hurt with you and lick your wounds, but you won't be healed. Did you ever notice people that are hurting surround themselves with people that understand their pain? I can on the surface understand why you're letting it hurt you, but that doesn't mean it's the right reason. I'm going to go after the reason you're letting it hurt you, and I want to chop that thing to pieces so you ain't hurt no more. I'm not going to say, oh, I understand. I can't believe they did that to you. I'm going to say, man, I'm sorry they did that to you, but why is it wrecking you so much? Why is it wrecking me? Because they this, they that. What's any of that have to do with truth, and what's that have to do with the Christ in you? Maybe your response is light and life, and maybe you overcome evil with good. And maybe you tone down a harsh word with a kind word, not get broken. Why are you broken? He was broken, so you never have to be. He died, so you never will. He was separated from the Father, so you can always be joined with Him. Why are you letting what they did speak louder than what He did? Why are you letting what they said have more dominance than what He has already spoken?
Come on. See, there's no way out of this. I'm just preaching it too clear. I'm doing good in the pulpit, man. Thanks for giving me the mic, man. Much better. I like him so much. Just much better. I'm passing. Oh, God.
You guys in? You guys in tonight? Come on, man. If you want to get real down to the nitty-gritty, and look at the Bible. The Bible teaches the only reason man is on the earth is for God's image. So if you're not pursuing God's image, you're living outside of why you're here. No wonder life seems so challenging. Because you're living outside of grace. Come on, read the manufacturer's handbook of a microwave. It wasn't made to put metal in it. But if you put metal in it, you'll cause it to function outside of its creative value and outside of its purpose. And if you continue to put metal in it, guess what you'll do to it after a while? You'll blow it up. You read the manufacturer's handbook. You weren't made to live for you. You were made to live for His image. And if you live long enough for you, guess what you'll do to your life after a while? You'll blow it up. And it'll be everybody else's fault, and you didn't catch a break, and even God wasn't good. You see how twisted that is? And it's all about you. It's because man fell and was born into a lie. And in all you're getting, get understanding so you can get born again. Come on. Having issues and attitudes and mad at folks isn't changing anybody or you. It's actually giving you a right to remain the same and assuring that tomorrow's yesterday. Why do you need justification for the flesh when you're called to live by the Spirit?
Man, it's too solid.
I asked Holy Spirit a long time ago to empower me to preach in a way that after I'm done, people would either have to say, wow, yeah, or I don't want that. But not, I don't get that. Preach in a way that forces men into accountability to where, pastor, they either say, man, why wouldn't I want that? That's why I'm here. Or, I don't want that. My question is, why would we be so deceived to hold on to something we weren't created to be? And if we all say God made us, why do we want to hold on and covet something we weren't from the beginning? Why wouldn't we want to let the redemption of the Lord take us back to the beginning and stop just making it about forgiveness of sins in heaven someday and let heaven truly be on the earth? For the kingdom of God is, you know what at hand means? Within reach. And you're to go preach. That means your life's expression. That doesn't mean a bullhorn walking down the kingdom of God is at hand. No, they'll think you're a loony. Go preach saying the kingdom of God is at hand. It's the demonstration and manifestation of your life. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out devils, raise the dead, cast out devils, right? There's a manifestation of the kingdom of God at hand. So when the kingdom of God is at hand and you go preach saying it's in reach, it's right in front of the person. So when you stop and talk to somebody and pray with them, guess what you're doing? You're touching them with the kingdom, in the kingdom. Why? Because it's in you. Well, why would you stop them? Because you love people. It's so funny. I've pulled over my car to pray for people walking down the street. You know, you just have time. There's occasions where you're driving and you go, oh. Whoever looked at somebody in public and you just, oh. Man, if I'm doing that, I just, and I just, hey, excuse me. Yeah. They realize you just parked, jumped out sometimes. They're like, what's up, man? Man, you're hurting so bad. Yeah. Well, why? You a doctor. You chiropractic. You'd be amazed what people say. I'm like, no, man, I'm just somebody that cares. Listen, man, what'd you do? Oh, I was going down the street. This guy's walking. He's trying to get exercise. He's got a whole body cast on his neck, stretched like a giraffe. It's crazy. He's walking like this. Down the street. I went, oh! Went up and did. Probably could have got in trouble a little bit. I did some kind of turny thing and got back there. And he saw me pull up and park, and I ran across and ran to him. I said, buddy, stop. I mean, I know I could catch him, but stop. I said, man, that's crazy. What happened to you? He started telling me the story like this. Tears filled my eyes. I said, oh my goodness, man. I passed you. It grabbed my heart. I had to turn around and come back. He said, I saw you turn around. And then you ran to me. I thought, do I know you? I said, man, we've never met, but I care so much about you. It grabbed my heart. I just want to pray for you. Watch. Please don't say no. Crying. You don't have the ability to care that much. But boy, he does. I'm not trying to sell him with tears, but God's doing a good job. Don't have some little Hollywood capsules and they go off in a minute, make me look like I'm crying, whatever. I care. I'm looking face to face with his trial, his infirmity, believing God paid an amazing price to reach him and touch him. So here's what they almost always do when you pull over and park. They go, you parked your car to pray for me? It wakes them out. You know what they think it is? Chad, it's funny. They think it's radical Christianity. Oh, I laugh. I say, stop. Don't think that's radical that I stopped the car to pray. Radical? I can tell you think that's some kind of radical gesture. Let me tell you, radical. 2,000 years ago, this totally innocent man that was God put on flesh and died in an unjust manner to pay the price for every guilty man so he could be restored and redeemed back to life and stand right in the sight of God. My friend, that's radical. Parking my car to pray for you is a given. And they go, oh. And you pray for him. I remember a lady, she's walking down the street like this, just like that. It was one of them days. Oh. Almost cut her off. I thought she was crossing, and I pulled in quick to get in front of her because she wasn't moving fast. But somehow, I got in front of her, and I pulled over into the alley. When I get out of my car, she's turning, coming right at my truck. I got out, and I said, oh, my goodness, you're coming this way, hon. She said, yeah. She said, I'm coming from lunch back to work. I work right here. And she pointed to the stairs. Is everything okay? And I'm like, yeah, yeah. Oh, my goodness, I just pulled over. I saw you walking. You're in so much pain. What's wrong with your feet? What happened? She said, oh, my goodness, it's plantar fasciitis. She said, it's getting so bad. I dread it. I dread the mornings. It's like walking on glass. And it's still early in the morning, and I'm at my worst. It'll get better through the day, but it's getting so bad. And she said, why did you pull over? Why did you pull over to ask me about my feet? I said, no, I wanted to pray for your feet, honey. Would you please? She said, you bought your car to pray for me? Stop. That is not radical. And you know what really gets them? When you don't even know them and you kneel down in the cinders of the alley. Yeah. And you just say, Lord God, thank you. And you just start praying for their feet. And they're standing there choking up. They're like, oh my God. You know, is this a dream? Is this for real? People aren't used to that. They're not used to things without strings. Sometimes they look at you funny, wondering where the catch is. Sometimes it's not till you walk away that they realize there is none. And all of a sudden their heart goes, wah! And God goes, woof! And you're already gone. I've heard a lot of stories and testimonies. I get feedback. When you pray for a few folks, you bump into a few things. And watch this. The more people you get your hands on, the more you open the door for. So let's stop asking so many questions to talk us out of it. And let's just step in. I wonder if nothing happens. Well, if you don't step out, you already got that. Hello? And if you stop and make contact, guess what always happens? Love. And guess what faith worketh through? And guess what love does? Never fails. I think we're going to win if we walk in love. It was like a movie. It was like a script. I came up off of her feet and I looked up. I said, check your feet, honey. How do they feel? She went, oh, 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 oh. I was just like, oh. Jumped up, hugged, cried. Honey, it's the kingdom. Listen, Jesus is on the earth. Honey, He lives in me. He wants to live in all of us. This is Christianity. I usually say to people, it's not a gimmick. I just say, years ago, I used to think going to church was Christianity. Honey, Jesus taught me it's loving people. Thanks for letting me love you. You squeeze them. You get back in your car and you go wherever you were going. Guess what you just did? You just sowed. You might have watered. Guess what's coming? Increase. People say, well, did you lead her to the Lord? I gave her the Lord. Now she has to deal with that. And if I want to, and if I feel right in the moment, I could say, honey, where are you at with God? Do you know Him? That's a privilege. You can do that. My goal is never them praying a prayer to go to heaven. My goal is sincerely loving them because that's where Jesus shows up. You can get them to pray your prayer to go to heaven and they miss the whole point because all you're trying to do is get them to repeat your prayer. Because you think if they confess your prayer, they're in. And 5 weeks later, they're coming out of the bar with a woman that's not their wife. And someone other you goes up to get them to pray that prayer. And they say, hey, I'm cool. I prayed that prayer 5 weeks ago right there. And I'm saying, what are we doing? Why don't you teach them who He is so they can find out who they are? Are you guys good? Because I'm late to you maybe, but early for me. I am so early and I'm done. I can tell I'm done. That's awesome. I've never done this early. God must love you guys, man. He's letting you off the hook. I'm usually long. I keep dragging it out. And I know you guys don't even think I'm done because you think till it's all said and done, it's going to be 10:30. But I'm going to pray over you guys right now. And is that all right? Is there anybody in this room that's never been born again? You don't know Jesus, man. And you're hearing me talk and you're going, whoa, this is what it's about. I just thought it was about trying to do good, not do bad. And I thought, is there anybody not born again? You could say you're not born again.